You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Once again, Senate Republicans have signed their names in the ledger of history alongside Donald Trump, the big lie, and voter suppression, to their enduring disgrace. This vote, I'm ashamed to say, is further evidence that voter suppression has become part of the official platform of the Republican Party.
There you have it, New York Senator Chuck Schumer. This is June 23rd, 2021. That was Senator Schumer, Democrat, New York, on the floor of the Senate yesterday, as they could not muster the votes and get rid of the 60-vote rule under the filibuster rules to push forward what they call For the People Act. For the People Act. You know, a name like that, it almost, oh yeah, I want that. I mean, that's ice cream and pie and beautiful skies and beaches. Must be, right? No. No, it's not. It is a veiled disguise, and it's very thinly veiled if you really look at it, for control of U.S. elections, for federal control of U.S. elections. You need to be careful what you wish for. You do know that's pretty much what they do in countries like, dictatorships. They are going to tell you how the vote's going to come out. Yeah, don't even bother voting. It's going to be this way. So they want to use this phraseology and dress it up, flower it, add a little perfume to it, and say it's For the People Act. And when it's the last thing the people need. And they want to accuse Republicans of infringing on voter rights. Minority Senator Leader Mitch McConnell said it perfectly. He said it's a rotten bill, a rotten bill. I don't care how you perfume it, how you try to dress it up. It's still a rotten bill. We all know the intent of the For the People Act. It's not to protect citizens' vote. It's to invalidate their vote if they don't like it by the Democrats. They are in their power grab mode right now. They have the White House. They have both houses of Congress. And, of course, you've heard some members on the progressive side say, we need to act quickly. We need to act quickly because in case not just that we might lose seats come 2022, the midterm, which they will, I promise you they will, but we might have some important Democrat die, especially in the Senate. And we wouldn't hold a split vote with Kamala Harris casting a tie vote. So they're rushing forward with that. And by the way, of course, Democrats are flopping now on the voter ID. I had some of that for you yesterday. I want to get back into that with more details on why they suddenly are changing and accepting voter ID. We've never been against it. Stacey Abrams herself, candidate for governor of Georgia. In fact, she still thinks she probably won the election. You can talk about the fact that you think Trump won. You're labeled a conspiracy theorist. You won't accept the fact. And Hillary can talk about how Russian collusion kept her from getting it. But she's okay and above the fray. And Stacey Abrams can talk about how she had the Georgia election stolen from her and she should be governor. And that's still okay with the state-controlled media. But why are they suddenly flipping? We're going to get into that. And a big Republican sellout. A big name in Republican selling out. Why? Dollars. Dollars from state-controlled media, of all places. And Joy Behar on The View. I don't watch it, but I pick up in pieces of it here and there. She made a homosexual joke, she thought, yesterday about the first full NFL player playing full time to come out and say he is gay. And she made what she thought, I guess, would be a joke. Every member of the panel, all the other women kind of, you know, hid, closed their eyes, covered their ears. Meghan Crane looked very uncomfortable, but no backlash, no state-controlled media backlash at all on her. It's a typical story from the mainstream media and state-controlled media, like the Hunter Biden laptop. The N-word he used repeatedly, that came out the other day. Have you seen it on state-controlled media? No. And now he is quoted in another email as using a derogatory term about Asian women. State-controlled media, nothing. We got a lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The filibuster is used as a wedge, a political insider's game tool to sort of not have to deal with the big policy. Mm-hmm. Rank and file Americans out there just like, can you just get it done?
Right.
You know, we're watching states strip away our access to the ballot box.
No, we're not. And that voice you heard, the voice you heard saying at that point that this is really just an effort by Republicans to strip away the right of Americans to go to the ballot box. In fact, suggesting, if not specifying, that if you were a Democrat or a minority, we're going to make sure you don't get to vote. That man who was speaking, a black politician, Michael Stephen Steele, born 1958. He is now considered a political commentator. I'm in MSNBC. So he's sitting there with a panel of MSNBC folks, and they're talking about how this 60-vote margin, that you have to have 60 votes to push forward under filibuster rules to get the Democrats' legislation passed in the Senate, that would basically, the For the People Act, suddenly take control of every election, place it under the rule and order of federal government. Michael Steele says it's not a good thing. It needs to go. It's archaic, basically. So, a black politician, I should say, he is, and a black commentator on an MSNBC says something like, big deal. What's a big deal? Well, you need to remember that Michael Steele was a, and I'd have to say a former Republican Party politician. I don't know who he votes for now or what his political affiliation is, but he did serve as a lieutenant governor of Maryland from 2003-2007. He was the first black American elected to a statewide office in the state of Maryland. And as the lieutenant governor, he chaired the Minority Business Enterprise Task Force in promoting expansion of affirmative action in the corporate world. But here's the real key. Michael Steele served as chair of the Republican, are you listening? The Republican National Committee from January 2009 until January 2011. And again, he was the first black American to serve in that capacity. So here is a former, not just Republican, but a chair of the Republican National Committee selling out. That's exactly what he did. He's getting a paycheck now from NSBC. I hope it's big enough to make him forget and not feel so bad about what he just did. But then again, whatever it amounts to, he's willing to do it because he's willing to sit there and listen to all the rest of the MSNBC commentators and agree, this filibuster, this is wrong. It's wrong. You heard what he said. I want you to compare what he said when he's talking about how this is just basically closing things down for voters to have a chance. I mean, that's what he's trying to say, keep in mind, that it's a Republican effort at this point to basically deny anyone a chance to vote because they're using the filibuster. He says it's a weapon used on the inside, kind of behind the curtain game, to deny access to the ballot box in this case. Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, says right now the GOP and what they're doing by holding that 60 rule effect, they are creating, again, a chance to disenfranchise those eligible to vote, specifically minorities. Now, when you listen to Senator Schumer, after you just heard from Steele, Michael Steele, who had been an RNC chairman, Schumer could have written Steele's statement, or maybe Steele wrote Schumer's statement. Just listen.
I've laid out the facts for weeks. Republican state legislatures across the country are engaged in the most sweeping voter suppression in 80 years, capitalizing on and catalyzed by Donald Trump's big lie. These state governments are making it harder for younger, poorer, urban, and non-white Americans to vote.
So see, he's echoing what you heard Steele say, that Republicans are using this archaic filibuster basically to deny folks having a chance at the ballot box. The same things Schumer just did. But saying, I want to make it clear, this is another evidence, piece of evidence of the GOP and the big lie. Say they want people to have a right to vote, but they really don't. And again, another quote from Steele as he's appearing on MSNBC for the check or whatever the money he gets, flat out saying, you got all these red states being Republican states, the very states when he was an RNC chairman, he wanted to bring together and make sure they had a coalition to defeat Democrats. He's throwing all of them under the bus, and all the Republicans and conservatives and even independents and lean conservative and even Democrats who might vote conservative, all under the bus in one fell swoop. Listen.
We're watching states strip away our access to the ballot box, putting hurdles in front of us. Can you at least address it? We're not asking for the federal government to control voting. Right. We're asking, could you just create a platform in which we can access voting in our own states? And yet they're falling back on these procedural arguments as if people give a damn.
Well,
and they don't. They just want you to do the daggone legislation. Mm-hmm. This is not rocket science. It's common sense. Well,
common sense is not common sense. And the people don't just want you to dadgum do it if it's going to hurt the American public, the American Constitution. Oh, I'm sorry. They probably don't even bother looking at that anymore. And if it's just simply going to be, as a way the Heritage Foundation calls it, easier to cheat in elections. Hans von Spakovsky, we often have on our program. Senior legal fellow, manager of Heritage Election Law Reform Initiative. He issued a statement after Senator Chuck Schumer made his remarks on the floor talking about how the Republicans once again are participating in the big lie and they're trying to deny the people the right to vote. Hans von Spakovsky wrote, "When it comes to our elections, policymakers should be focused on one goal, making it easier to vote and harder to cheat." Sadly, this legislation does the opposite. Boy, did he nail it, just in those two sentences. This legislation, the 887-page proposal in the Senate, and corresponding to the bill that came out of the House, the For the People Act, is not going to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat. It's going to make it harder to vote and easier to cheat. They want you to believe that they're going to make it easier to vote. And to that extent, I'll give them a little leeway. Okay, maybe your bill make it a little easier, but what are you doing about preventing cheating? Well, of course, they don't believe there's any cheating. They don't believe there's any cheating unless it happens to them. Hans Mikoski goes forward and says, "This mammoth leftist takeover of elections, which is what it is, threatens election security and compromises every American's fundamental right to vote." It doesn't say every white American's fundamental right. He doesn't say every man's fundamental right to vote. He said every American. He adds it would require national implementation of the worst changes in election rules from the 2020 election and go further in eroding and eliminating basic security protocols that states have in place. And among the list of the items Hans points out, he said it would prevent states and their citizens from truly updating, ensuring the accuracy of voter rolls. That's what they've been trying to do in a lot of the states, red states only, blue states don't really care, determining the qualifications and eligibility of voters, and again, red states only, not Democrat states, seeking and securing the fairness and integrity of elections, again, it's only one side, and participating and speaking freely in the political process. He said, "The Heritage Foundation has worked tirelessly to make our elections accessible, secure, and fair. And we will continue to fight so that each and every eligible American citizen's vote does count and is not stolen by those who cheat the system." All right, you would expect that response from Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation. You would expect that. You've heard him on the air here enough. You know he's going right down the line, and he's looking at it on a legal basis because he's also a lawyer. He knows the law. Well, someone else that knows the law surfaced on CNN and NNN yesterday to also talk about this For the People Vote, For the People Act, and he stepped forward and said, this bill is the basic, main, supreme concern we should have to avoid a constitutional crisis in our nation. All right, I need to let him know he's going to be on camera before we take him. Well, he's not on the camera. We're just going to take his audio. He is a CNN analyst. Jeffrey Toobin. Jeffrey, we're coming to you. We're not taking audio, but we're just going to listen to your voice, so we're not going to see what you're doing with your zipper. Go ahead.
This is life or death for the democracy. This is about whether the people are going to control their government or the government is going to decide how the democracy works or doesn't work. And I just think one of them is an existential crisis for the United States.
a crisis for the United States. For the People Act. Thank you, Jeffrey. We appreciate that. And I'll give you a chance to appear on this program in the second hour. If we don't take video of you and you don't touch your zipper. I know I hear some of you, Larry, just let it go. Let it go. No, you know what? I could just let it go, but do they ever let anything go when it involves a Republican? Do they ever back up and say, okay, enough's enough, let's move on? Do they ever? No, they do not. I can play the same game they can. And by the way, before we wrap up this hour, we are going to look at how the state-controlled media has been treating Joy Behar after a homosexual joke regarding the first full-time NFL player to come out and say he's gay. And the reaction of the state-controlled media. Not only that, but the Hunter Biden laptop. Back to the issue about the vote not going through. Schumer does say we're not done. We're going to spend more time on that in the next hour. But in the next segment coming up, the Biden administration coming out with new laws regarding Second Amendment rights, your guns, and the migrant crisis. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we have President Biden announcing something new regarding gun laws. It's going to be rolled out by the president here shortly, later this afternoon, and along with Attorney General Merrick Garland. Biden administration, White House already announcing that it's going to include zero tolerance for gun dealers who willfully violate the law. Okay. If they're willfully violating the laws exist, yeah, okay, zero tolerance for them. But when you begin to look at what they're trying to impose, and they're going to use it probably as an avenue just to shut down gun sales, you need to really be careful. Now, this zero tolerance policy would target federally licensed firearms dealers who, quote, willfully transfer a weapon to someone prohibited from owning one or ignore a tracing request from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Explosives. The ATF would then seek to revoke the dealer's license after the first offense. Okay. We've already talked about it before. We have adequate laws on the books if they're followed. If they're not being followed, yes, I say go ahead and get busy on it. They're also, the Biden administration, going to take aim at so-called ghost guns, modified firearms, which are homemade firearms without serial numbers, so it's difficult to trace them. Now, I don't know what they're going to do about the gangsters who get their guns illegally anyway, and they purposely take the serial numbers off. I don't know what they're going to do about them. They're probably not going to bother. They're looking at law-abiding citizens, basically. The laws are there. Follow the laws. And while they're focused on that, and they're saying the reason we're doing this is because there's a staggering surge in violent crime. Yes, there is. And where? Let me see. Blue cities, blue states, where they defunded police, now trying to get more money back to them. And could it also be because we continue to have a porous border and just let folks come in? There's a new report from a source inside ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, talking on condition of anonymity, the Breitbart News says there are flights mostly with Haitian, Venezuelan migrants going from Laughlin Air Force Base to areas around Seattle and New Orleans, ICE field offices. In other words, we are flying them on Air Force planes. They had been using commercial planes. Now we're using Air Force planes. And there's a BBC investigation. A BBC investigation looking at some of these minor detention centers. And they're reporting that a lot of these children are exposed to disease, dangerous food, and sexual abuse and confinement. There's no surprise there. State-controlled media in this country won't bother reporting it. BBC comes in, and they quickly pick up and find the story that's there. They said simply interviewing staff and migrant children, we found allegations of sexual abuse, COVID-19, lice outbreaks, long waits for medical attention, lack of clean clothing, undercooked meals, and some staffers gave photos and video they took inside detention centers. Sometimes they say they served the kids chicken with blood. 15-year-old said, we couldn't stand our hunger. We ate it. We got sick from it. Yeah, that's right. You would. Kamala Harris, no, she has not gone to the border yet. Approaching 100 days, she still hasn't gone there. Coming up, make D.C. a state. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for convening this hearing on S-51, the Washington, D.C. Admission Act, which provides the 700,000 residents of Washington, D.C. full democracy. I am Muriel Bowser, Mayor of Washington, D.C., and I'm honored to come before this committee with a simple request. Senators, we ask you to right the wrong that occurred some 220 years ago when the residents of the District of Columbia were stripped of their full congressional representation, and we ask you to do it now.
I was there 200 years ago. Oh, no, I wasn't. I'm sorry. I slipped, but no, I was not there. And no one in that room was. But that was Muriel Bowser addressing a Senate hearing yesterday looking at, should we make D.C., District of Columbia, a state? She is correct that under the U.S. Constitution, when it was written, it provided for a federal district under the exclusive jurisdiction of Congress. It's not part of any U.S. state, and of course, it's not one itself. And they basically, as of July 16, 1790, under the Residence Act, have a capital district located along the Potomac River near the nation's east coast, of course, and the city of Washington founded in 1791 to serve as the national capital. Congress held its first session in 1800. So that territory, formerly part of Maryland, Virginia, including settlements of Georgetown and Alexandria, officially became recognized as the federal district. The District of Columbia. The city has maybe 130-plus neighborhoods. You heard her say the estimated population, about 700,000. That's probably right. There have been a lot leave. I don't know how accurate the number is now. All three branches of the U.S. federal government, of course, are centered in that district. The White House, Congress, Supreme Court. They do elect a mayor in D.C. They have a 13-member council to govern the district. They've been doing that since 73. They do get a non-voting at-large congressional delegate to the House, just one. Because based on the population, they would just have one. The district does not have any representation in the Senate. So that's why they in D.C. say we want a right to be heard. We think we're big enough. We should be a state as well. We're obligated. We're controlled by the U.S. Constitution, not allowed to do so. Now, on one hand, you want to immediately say, you know, that doesn't sound right. But when you look as to why they want to make D.C. a state, it's not really to, as they say, right a wrong and give them full representation. It's not really that. It's to, they know it is deeply, deeply liberal. And if they are designated a state, they would also then get, because every state gets two members of the Senate. Don't care how big the state is, how small. You only get two members in the Senate, but you at least get two. So D.C. would have two, and you can bet your bottom dollar they would be liberals representing D.C. So then you would have a U.S. Senate of 102 members. Instead of the current 100. And if we had the current makeup of the U.S. Senate we do now and then add those two senators, then there would never need to be a tie-breaking vote cast by the VP who presides over the Senate. That would be Harris at this point. Because based on the numbers and adding D.C. with two senators right now would mean Republicans would still have 50 senators representing their interest. Democrats would have 52. Now, before we get more into why she thinks it needs to be done, and of course, there's the Puerto Rico thing hanging in the balance. I'll come back to that in a moment. As she's testifying before the Senate committee and talking about statehood, talking about everything we need to be doing, and, you know, we should have a right, we should have the same representation as others. She got a question from Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, about the riots they've had over the course of several months in D.C., beginning in May 2020. Now, this was a touchy subject for Mayor Muriel Bowser. Because she said, well, we just had one night of rioting last summer. One night. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. So if you're going to lie about that, what else are you lying about as to why you want D.C. to become a state? So let's just break that down. You've got Senator Ron Johnson, Republican, asking her about all the property damage caused during the riots. She said just a couple of questions in terms of how the district has handled people who have rioted in the summer versus those who breached the Capitol, which is in D.C. And, of course, that's that January 6th event. And Johnson again said, I condemn both equally, but I just want to know about, do you have an estimate of all the property damage through the D.C. area during the summer riots? And Mayor Bowser said, I know we had one night of rioting in the district in the summer. I don't have any property damage estimates. Well, Metropolitan Police Department details hundreds of unrest-related arrest it made for offenses, unrest being maybe not full violent, but it was no longer a peaceful assembly. Hundreds of them that occurred for various offenses between May, June, July, and August of last year. They had 29 arrests for felony riot acts May 31st. They had additional 20 arrests for felony riot acts on June 1 and more on June 2. So here you have the mayor of D.C. saying, we deserve to have our voice heard because we are good and upstanding citizens and always truthful as well. When she stands there, sits there, and absolutely lies to the senator in her testimony. And she knows the numbers exist, but she just wants to say, I think we had one riot. Maybe she can claim, I didn't forget. You know, you sit around with Joe Biden a few times, you just kind of forget everything, except what kind of ice cream you like. Now, back to the issue as to why she thinks D.C. should have representation and be a state, because it does not get any voice in the Senate as it is right now, and they only get one member in the House, and that's a non-voting member. And she's right in the way she explains this, so let's give her credit where credit's due.
The House of Representatives has passed the Washington, D.C. Admission Act twice, and the White House has indicated its support for the bill through a statement of administration policy. Our democracy is truly in the hands of this Senate. It is the time for the U.S. Senate to support the D.C. petition for statehood. The district's call for full democracy has been drowned out by arguments that ignore the fact that the second-class status of D.C. residents is clearly an anomaly of the United States Constitution, not a feature of it.
Not a feature of it. She's right about all those points. But again, it's not just so D.C. residents have representation, because they would, is to put two more Democrat senators, firmly entrenched senators, right into the U.S. Senate. And beyond that, she doesn't really care. Of course, then the question becomes, well, if you're going to become a state, does the mayor automatically become the governor? I mean, there are a lot of things yet to be decided. And she's right. Yes, the House has twice said, yes, let's make D.C. a state. Well, you know why they're rushing forward to do it. They're trying again in their power grab. I told you from the very beginning, on the day of the inauguration and even before then, the moment they get in, they're going to be like kids in a candy shop. Grab everything you can. Because in 2 years, we might lose our representation in the House control and in the Senate. We won't lose the White House, not for two more years after that. So they're grabbing what they can. And this is one of the key things they want. They want court packing, of course, take care of the U.S. Supreme Court. They want to make D.C. a state, and they want to do the same with Puerto Rico, which would, again, ensure two more U.S. senators. They might as well say, well, if you're not going to do this, then let California have four U.S. senators, because they're all going to be liberal. We'll take a break when we come back. On The View, Joy Behar joking about a gay NFL player. It's stunning. You're not going to hear it on the state-controlled media. Stand by, please.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so here we go on this Joy Behar on The View, one of the co-hosts. Now, again, probably most of you don't watch it, but you might have heard some of this noise going on around remarks that Joy Behar made. I am going to play her remarks in a moment. If you don't want to hear them, I'm only going to play them once. If you want to hear more or hear it repeated, you can certainly go to our podcast later and play it back and forth and or other sources. I'm not so focused on her remark, but as the reaction of state-controlled media, because here is where things begin to go south in a hurry when you're talking about how state-controlled media covers up for all of their, well, the ones they want to be with, the ones they want to create and lift up higher. The issue involved Las Vegas Raiders defensive end Carl Nassib. I think that's correct pronunciation. I could be wrong. He is the first active NFL player to come out as gay. No, Michael Sam that did it in Missouri. He was on a secondary squad practice or something of that nature. I think later he went to Quebec or somewhere else to play in another league. But this guy is an active NFL player, the first to come out and say he was gay. And he said, you know, I didn't look for a day that I won't need to, that this wouldn't be any news, but I want to say it now and just be done with it. So they were discussing it on The View. The morning show, The View show, basically has liberals on it. They have one conservative, Meghan McCain. At least she's closer to conservative than any of the rest of them. And Meghan McCain, of course, yes, the daughter of the late Arizona Senator John McCain, has a girlfriend who's going to be representing the U.S. at the Tokyo Olympics next month. She might have a chance of getting a gold medal. So she has a personal interest in the remark that was made as well, because McCain has also spoken in favor of LGBTQ rights in the past, as every woman on that panel has. But she makes it very clear that she has a lesbian girlfriend. That's Meghan McCain, even though she's conservative. I've told you before, I know several conservatives that are also lesbian, homosexual, gay, whatever the qualification might be. So when Joy Behar was talking about this Las Vegas Raiders defensive end and his decision to come out and announce he's gay, I guess Behar was trying to say, you know, the whole sport of football is confusing to me, that maybe she doesn't understand football. Maybe that's what she was trying to do. If you're going to give her any allowance, maybe that's what. But she also knew the phraseology and the term she decided to use. Well, here it is.
Las Vegas.
Okay.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
You know, Anna. Anna, after they said penetration in the end zone, they lost me. So, Sonny, is this a sign that the... Sonny.
That was it. She has since maybe penalized herself to that extent. You know what she really said? She said after this, she started seeing some backlash, and it's not from state-controlled media. It's her audience and others. She said, you know, let's just forget I said that, okay? Can we all do that? Let's just forget I said that. Well, sure. I mean, a liberal's made a mistake. We can forget and let it slide, right? A conservative? Oh, no, no. If a conservative had made a statement like that, it'd be wall-to-wall coverage, Don Lemon fruitcake, and that's not a reference to his sexual preference. He would be on the air continuously pounding the desk. How dare you make a homosexual joke like that? I haven't seen them say word one about Joy Behar. Meghan McCain complained, but that's about it. It's the same way, of course, we've seen the state-controlled media treat the Hunter Biden laptop. And when word came out the other day, one of those emails that's on that laptop, he used the N-word repeatedly. No, you didn't see that on the state-controlled media. Well, now he did something else. There's a text that's been released dealing with January 26, 2019. The Daily Mail is reporting this one. And talking about a cousin is trying to fix Hunter Biden up with someone. And she apparently asked, do you want foreign or domestic? A girl, what do you want, a foreign or domestic date? He said, oh, then she said, I can't give you any effing Asian. Sorry, I'm not doing it. Hunter's answer is, domesticated foreigner is fine, and then added, in quote, no yellow. Would that be considered not just sexist, but racist? If Trump or a conservative said it, yeah. But again, for the state-controlled media, he said, no yellow. He must be talking about the traffic light or something. Yeah, right, right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to take a closer look at this push to get a rotten law passed, and because the Republicans are fighting back against it, we are to blame for a constitutional crisis. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.